Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
3 o'clock here on WEEI in our beautiful Ted Johnson Brighton Studios.
Gorgeous.
Powered by Verizon.
Game day. Let's go.
Are you excited? I was telling Fitzy, he and I are so used to we do the post-game show. We very rarely kind of get to do kind of the pregame energy vibe thing.
I love having it. I like playing games when it's not your typical game day.
Yeah.
I think it's just kind of a fun little wrinkle in the schedule. So you'll be up late tonight. I'll be up late doing TV. And tomorrow will be a long day. But you know what? It's kind of fun. We got the weekend to ourselves, right?
So absolutely. Yes, Dan Ball?
I would like it known that WEEI afternoons will be completely represented during the various Patriots post-game things that you can consume. Hear it on the radio, Fitzy and Hart. See it on television, Ted Johnson. No matter where you turn, WEEI afternoons has you.
That's full Monty analysis of the Patriots blowout. Did you get a little squirrely, Ted, in the first hour if you were listening when Fitzy said this is the third preseason game?
I heard all that. I mean, I get it. It's hard to...
That's a best case scenario, Andy. Don't put words.
Muster up, an argument for the Jets to win this game. Yeah. But nonetheless, that's what is by definition makes this one of those games where you got to worry about. So,
it goes back to the surprise cut thing, and people say, "You think that guy's going to get cut?" No, you asked me for a surprise cut. Somebody I'd be surprised if they were cut.
If you could talk yourself into a little fear of the unknown because nobody knows who plays for the Jets and no one knows how the hell they've won two games or how they're going to approach tonight's game because they're a team with a very dismal future, but that could make them dangerous, Ted.
Well, there you go. It's the teams that have nothing to lose that scare you. You know, those last two games, they got Miami and the Jets in the last two games. Those games will be, those teams will be playing for nothing. But there's guys that are out there that are playing for new contracts to put good film on so that they get picked up next year. So you get a better effort, usually particularly in those games at the end. But also, this is a nationally televised game. So Jets have a lot. Guy players are gonna have a lot of pride. Their families are watching, so they're gonna want to go out there and put their best effort forward.
All right, it's 3 o'clock. It's time for the 3-point stance.
Green 19.
It's the 3-point stance.
Just count to three.
That's three.
Three shall be the number thou shalt count.
Pierce for three. It's good.
Three fabulous flyers.
And the number of the counting shall be three.
Johnson scores. Ties it 3-3.
On WEEI Afternoons.
Time for today's 3-point stance here on WEEI Afternoons, brought to you by Jeffrey Glassman Injury Lawyers, Boston's go-to injury attorney for over 30 years. If you've been hurt in a car or work accident, or your show's going full Monty after the Patriots game, you got to get Glassman. Call all sevens at 617-777-7777. 3 o'clock here on WEEI Afternoons, three hosts, each of which will present their stances on the biggest stories in Boston sports and beyond.
Seven!
Thank you!
Andy Hart, you will lead us off after Joe Castiglione tells us the number. You get 60 seconds for your opening stance. Are you ready?
Let's do it.
All right, here is 60 seconds. Go ahead.
So I know it's Patriots game day, but when I was doing my usual round of clips and readings and research this morning, there's a lot of buzz about the Boston Red Sox coming out of the GM meetings all over the internet. If you want buzz, the Red Sox are interested in two hitters and a starter, a number two starter. That comes from Christopher Smith. And Breslow said, yeah, we could. He actually acknowledged it. Then I look at Ken Rosenthal. And Ted, you might like this. He says that the Red Sox might be looking to put together a, quote, super pen, a super bullpen, something that's already a strength with Chapman and Whitlock. They may be looking to add another high leverage arm to the bullpen to make it a super pen. Then I go over to Jim Bowden. That's Alex Cora's guy, so take it for what it's worth. He put together his plan for the Boston Red Sox this offseason. The way he says is not groundbreaking. He says high-end starting pitcher, corner infielder. Okay, we all say that. But the high-end starting pitcher that he thinks they could and should target is two-time Cy Young Award winner Tarek Skubal. He just beat out Garrett Crochet. He got 26 first-place votes. Crochet got two. But Jim Bowden thinks the Red Sox first option for a pitcher is Skubal. Their fallback is Joe Ryan. If you're not getting excited about the Red Sox offseason, then I don't know what to promise you.
Wait. That's who said that? It was
Jim Bowden.
Bowden. Yeah, doesn't he? That's what he does. Is he throws out these things, bro?
Cora just told us that, Ted. Remember the summer?
That's right, Fitzy. I mean, Andy's sitting here just taking the cheese.
Yep.
Getting all excited. And go ahead, Fitzy. Tell everybody what you're talking about.
Yeah. So this summer we talked about a couple of headlines, or rather asked the manager about some headlines involving rumors with Jaren Duran being traded to this team and that team. And Alex Cora told us flat out, hey, I used to work at the MLB Network with Jim Bowden. Let me guess, this rumor came from him. That's exactly what he does. He stirs the pot, rattles the hornet's nest, and gets people going on these clickbait topics. Come on, Andy.
Well,
come on.
I am a stirred pot. I am a rattled hornet's nest, whatever you want to call it. I am that. And it wasn't just a tweet or TV. He put it in writing on The Athletic. So it should be a little bit more substantial if you put it in writing. That's owned Nick Fitzy Stevens by the New York Times.
I tell you what. Let's hear what Alex Cora had to say about Jim Bowden way back in the summer. Go ahead, there, Stiz.
I said it in a show here a few weeks ago. That part, you know, like I work with Jim Bowden, you know, and we were sitting in the green room, and it's like, hey, how about this trade? I'm like, what? Man, you're making that up. It's like, boom. And then he tweeted it. I'm like, so don't believe everything you read. Just stay in the moment. You know, one thing they can control, all of them, is to show up today and play hard and see what the future holds.
We just took a hot, steamy one on your three-point right
there.
That's
okay.
Yeah. That right there. Huh?
Sooner or later, Jim Bowden is going to write something or say something that's accurate.
Yep, very good.
And I'll be happy about it.
Oh, yeah, the sun shines on a duck's ass once every couple of days or so, right, Andy?
Are you guys telling me I'm setting myself up for disappointment?
Yep.
Yeah, a little bit.
That's what you do almost every day.
I've watched you do this for the past 3 years.
No, you. But last year they gave me Bregman and Crochet. So I'm looking for that.
And got him right to the wild card as a result.
And
awesome.
Now if they give me Skubal and Alonso, because I listened to Dan Ball, and he told me Love is bringing Alonso back to Boston. Skubal and Alonso? That's World Series, baby.
They're not getting Andy, they are not going to mortgage the entire team and then spend $45 million a season on a pitcher that's going to send Crochet to being the number two starter. No way.
I actually agree. But the fallback is Joe Ryan, according to Jim Bowden.
Who's the ace? Who's the horse? Is it Joe Ryan or is it our guy?
So Crochet is the ace if Ryan is here, I think. But if Skubal comes, then yeah, Crochet becomes your two. I mean, he's back to back Cy Young Award winner, right?
I have two
good
things.
Luck
one,
with that.
One, if you want to look like, if you want to like think realistic options, you could read about how the Padres are thinking of selling. Because the team's been in disarray since the owner died, and they probably want to trim payroll, so that could make guys like Dan's guy, Fernando Tatis Jr., available for the right price this offseason.
There
so there's a place to look, Ted, for that auxiliary bat we were talking about. Yep. Like, sign Pete Alonso, get a Tatis, boom, and sauce. That's how you gussy up this lineup right there.
They need two bats. They need two bats. I said that yesterday. Two bats is what they need. If they're losing Bregman, so that you need another number two hitter and then a big bat in the middle of the lineup. So that's what they need, and a number two starter. Those are your most pressing needs, in my opinion.
And we and Andy, I also wanted to follow up with this idea. Like, remember back in Theo goes to Thanksgiving with Curt Schilling, convinces him to come to Boston. Who was the ace between Pedro and Schilling in 2004? How did they handle that dynamic?
Who was the ace between Pedro and Schilling in 2004?
Because both of those guys had pretty big egos and were pretty well accomplished.
But they, yeah, I mean,
I think it was Schilling. I think Pedro became the number two starter.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you have to have one, right? Like a series starts and there's an opening game starter.
That's a good example of two theoretically aces kind of being able to work together, though.
You
don't see it very often, but it can
Common
work.
Goal.
Yeah.
Dan Ball, who started game one?
Curt Schilling did against the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim Anaheim Angels at the time.
So what it also does is it helps you late in the year. If you have two guys that can start game one, you don't necessarily have to totally manipulate your pitching rotation to get there. And real quick before we move on, we didn't get a chance to touch on it. Brad Foe actually said he believes it's now less than a 50% chance that Bregman comes back.
Yeah.
That's his belief.
It's just, you know, Scott Boras with his little Scarbucks thing, you know, whatever that was, monologue, just kind of like, you know what, bro? You know, this is serious stuff for us.
Yeah.
And you're just kind of, you know, you're already swimming in money and you're bathing in it and you're just there kind of making a mockery of the whole thing. I don't want your guy anyway.
And you saw.
And no one wants a Brexit.
But did you see he did it with Scooble? He did it with Pete Alonso. The Scooble one was all plays on, like, Scooby-Doo. Should be Scooby-Done and made Little Caesars references.
Who told him, like, this is like, did he just take a class at Upright Citizens Brigade or, like, with the Groundlings? What is going on?
You got to admit, it's kind of crazy that an agent has his own press conference.
Yeah, like, he puts up his own backdrop.
He brings his own step and repeat test.
Sending the bat signal up, and then because he knows, because all the media members just swarm right around him. Why not have your logo behind
it? You know what? Good for him. I just think, shame on the baseball players for giving this guy the power. I think part of it is a little bit smarmy by the baseball players that they just, my agent takes care of it. I have no decision in it. Wherever he tells me to go, I go, which is complete and utter BS. But that's how they act. And so they give all this power to a guy that really is, the strings are being pulled by the players. You know, he works out the mechanics of the deal, but the player is the one that says, yes, Scott, or no, Scott, I don't want that deal.
I kind of wish, collusion is not allowed, but I kind of wish the owners and the players would collude against Boras and just decide, can we push this jack wagon out of the game because he's annoying?
The only way that comes about is if teams stop negotiating. If they say we're not dealing with this guy or if there becomes some the Montgomery and Snell example if he treats his players in such a way where they just stop getting long-term deals, the only thing that talks in this is money.
Real quick, because this is kind of fascinating. You know, my 3-point can wait if we don't get to it. It's no big deal.
Okay.
The Scott Boras bad deals where he bet on a player. You just mentioned a couple,
Montgomery,
right?
Montgomery, yeah.
Yes, yeah.
Montgomery and Scott.
I would love to know how many Scott Boras clients have actually been like, dude, this guy screwed me or he read the market wrong.
Right.
There's got to be as a million examples of that as there is him hitting on markets, right?
I would guess there is, but he kind of has such a big trump card at this point that he can go, what are you going to do, fire me? Yeah. I think it's just I've really never heard a story of like somebody has moved off of Scott Boras for blank because he's made so much money even in spite of some of those bad deals that I think players kind of just suck it up.
Yeah. I don't think you'll be able to get a league-wide collusion, Ted, because one team that is desperate enough to get a hold of one of his clients that believes that player is the linchpin to their postseason success will break party lines and sign him.
Yeah, that's the problem. He's got too many talented players. And teams,
they
may have that theory, and then they're like, oh, but we do kind of have to, we want that guy.
I want to know what the powers of B in the Red Sox organization secretly say about Scott Boras. What are they, when they're sitting there having their cigars and their brandy, you know, what are they saying? What do they really think about that guy?
Probably hate him. And I think the players probably hate him, but they don't hate the paycheck that he gets them in the end.
Yeah.
Was it, Dan, before we move on real quick, was it Nolan Arenado that re-signed and he was a Boras client and they were like, wow, he didn't get to the market and he kind of cried and said, like, this is where I want to be. So
that's Freddie Freeman.
Freddie Freeman.
Yep, didn't want to leave Atlanta, but he didn't do the justice for his client.
Right. So there is a little bit of it, but doesn't seem like there's enough to stop it.
Yep.
No, that is the case. Okay, so here's what we're going to do. First of all, live look inside the Red Sox front office for what they usually say about Scott Boras.
Pound sand up yours.
Thank you very much, Mark Schlereth. So here's what we're going to do. So we're running up against it. We got Tommy Curran at 3:30. Fitzy will hear your 3-point stance now. Ted, because you're doing yours on the Patriots, we will lead our buildup at 4 o'clock with Ted Johnson's 3-point stance. We're moving all the elements around. But in the meantime, Fitzy, your 60 seconds are now, and are you ready?
Yes, I am indeed, and I think this is relevant to the person we will be speaking to in just over 10 minutes' time.
Oh, perfect. Love that. All right, here's 60 seconds. Go ahead.
All right. I know we did this for so long while the two of them were here orchestrating the double dynastic run of the New England Patriots. Who was more responsible for their success? Was it Bill Belichick or was it Tom Brady?
10%.
And then we kept the argument.
Answer.
Gary Myers wrote a book about it. Ted Johnson has spoken on the subject a few times. The debate has raged on and actually continues, although those embers have died down a little bit. And now it seems as though we are stoking a new fan of controversial flame in the argumentative sports debate world, and that is, who is more successful for the success of the 2025 Patriots resurgence? Is it quarterback Drake May or is it head coach Mike Vrabel? This was actually a heated talker this morning with Stephen A. and crew on Worst Take on ESPN, if you can actually watch it if you don't have YouTube TV like me. Anyway, editorializing aside, I just wanted to weigh in and say, while Drake May is having a spectacular MVP-like season, far outpacing any expectations for his sophomore season, it's Mike Vrabel. This guy came here, had the job of turning around a twice registered 4-13 team, installing a culture, getting entitlement out of the building, and setting everybody from coaches to players, executives, and fans beyond up for success. So to me, it's a small margin, but it's Mike Vrabel.
Ted?
Yeah. Yeah, you know how I feel about this.
That is true. I do know how you feel.
I do think the coach sets the standard for, sets the tone, at least gets... He's the one that kind of gets the ball rolling until the players kind of pick it up and then, you know, take off with it. So this is it's a new team. More than 2/3 of this roster is new. Mm-hmm. The culture, I think, is very much firmly established. And I think the quarterback is thriving in this new system and culture that Mike Vrabel set up. So I give most of the credit to getting it going for Mike, you know. Years after this, it's going to be a Drake May show from here on out. But
great minds think alike. There you go.
Hey, Billy, how you doing, bud? You winning some games down there. That's good, man. A couple in a row.
A lot of season left, right, Stiz?
Not enough.
Should have took that buyout.
Right now, I'd give the edge to Mike. I really would. And then, you know, next year and the year after, it's going to be May.
So I just want to clarify, because we've gotten some responses in the Twitch chat and on the text line and on social media. This actually came to us from the national level. Our boss man, Ken Laird, sent us a little clip from what you were talking about, Fitzy, First Take. Mm-hmm. And we didn't start this debate. We've had many dumb debates on this show, and we can take credit for a lot of those. But
I mean, we did also do this weeks ago, but I'll leave that there.
That was more. Did we actually do this weeks ago?
Yeah.
This very question, who's more responsible?
I'm almost positive we have.
Oh,
yeah.
So we should be taking credit.
Yeah,
for
absolutely. Yeah, we were the trendsetters on this one.
Take tone setters.
I feel like this has kind of been a theme for a lot of
everywhere
shows. Everywhere.
I mean, yeah. I think college doesn't matter. Like the quarterback is so important that it's lifted that role above all other players. To like, is he as important as the coach? Is he more important than the coach? And that's how it works, I guess. So we're lucky enough to be debating that. We weren't debating it last year, were we? It was all about blame. Remember the days when we used to, everything was about blame? It's much more enjoyable to talk about success and credit and split the credit pie than the blame pie. Nice job, Dan Ball, with the 3-point stances. We'll get Ted's about an hour from now, a little over an hour from now. We'll talk Patriots build up to the Jets Thursday night football. But up next, a guy that I'm assuming will be at that game, Tom E. Curran, in his weekly spot, 3:30 here on a Thursday.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. One, it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contract. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3-month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
It's game day here on WEEI Afternoon, so we have a rare opportunity. Our Thursday chat with Tom E. Curran is a pregame chat. Tom Curran on WEEI is brought to you by Drains by James, Eastern Mass's top provider of drain and sewer cleaning and repair. By your New England Chevy dealers, together let's drive. And Tommy Curran is powered by Verizon. Tom, what's up this week?
You know, I like the compressed week sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
You get right after it. You do? You like it too?
Yeah, because we get a weekend. I kind of like the weekend.
Yep.
It's fun with freedom.
There's no favors for the players. No favors at all for the players, but we're right at it. We don't have to spend too long breaking down the last game, and we're right into the next.
Yep. You're exactly right. There is a more even split. It's like a couple days on the last one, a couple days on the new one. Let's watch Thursday, and my body doesn't hurt, so you know I can go out there and watch the game tonight. So, but Tom, this is a division game against the Jets. They're not a very good team, but they've won two in a row. Are we maybe overlooking the Jets? Are we not taking the Jets seriously enough? Because I don't want to throw Fitzy under the bus, but in our first segment, he called it preseason game number three.
I think Fitzy's in the minority. I think that there's so much trepidation that the Patriots are at some point going to suffer a letdown that, and it's fairly universal, again, accepting Fitzy, that I don't think that folks in general, whether it be media or fans, are taking them lightly. They do deserve to be taken very lightly, given their non-production. Last week, they had 54 yards passing. 42 came on a check down to Breece Hall. They were staked to 2 touchdowns in the first quarter by returns. They're just not a good team. And I think that the main factor in this is the length to which the Patriots have gone for weeks to say we're not, they're actually going overboard, I think, in trying to avoid a letdown and to not congratulate themselves and to stay on task. So I don't sense a letdown this week.
Yeah, nor do I, Tom. I would be shocked if there was. But it was interesting last week. Ramondre Stevenson didn't play, neither did Kayshon Booty, and it's the same for this game. And so two guys have filled in for those guys, Travion Henderson and Kyle Williams, both had big games. And I'm just wondering, what do you anticipate kind of a continuation of that in tonight's game? Do you see Travion Henderson getting the lion's share of the carries and Kyle Williams maybe expanding on the one big catch that he had last week?
I do expect that Henderson will get the bulk of the carries, especially with Terrell Jennings dinged up. Henderson was dinged up too. and on the injury report early in the week, but then had all designations removed, so he's good to go. But Terrell Jennings was out, so Darnest will be up. So they will be a little strapped in the running game. And to me, when you look at the running game last week, Ted, I know we spoke about this on the post game. He had two long runs to account for the 147, but other than those two long runs, which absolutely positively count, but he had 12 carries for 23 yards on the other ones. They were not, it's not like they're ripping off 4, 6, and 8 time and time and time again. He had two home runs and many inconsequential runs. Yep. So to me, you look at it and you say, I'm not sure that the Patriots running game has really started to click yet. And then with Kyle Williams, again, great play call, great timing, great execution and acceleration by him, but it was one catch on one target. So how much will it expand? It could, because the Jets are actually pretty good against the deep balls. Could you find a way to unlock him with Booty out again in some of those intermediate routes? I think it's a big night for the underneath passing game because the Jets have been very good against the deep ball.
So, Tom, if there's one way that the Jets might be able to surprise the Patriots, and by the way, just for context, I said the best case scenario is that the Patriots get up, get a big lead, and then kind of like they do in the third preseason game, can tell starters to exit late in the third. Anyway, be that as it may, what's the one way that tonight's game could either throw a scare into the Patriots or see the Jets actually, I don't know, kind of like rattle their cage?
Explosive plays that happen because of breakdowns or the other team pulls something off. I mean, Justin Fields is mobile enough that he could extend a play. Say he hits somebody downfield, and he's certainly not going to hit Garrett Wilson, who is their best receiver and is not going to play tonight. So just quirky, explosive plays would be the way that I would interpret it. And then, you know, May had a pick last week, but it was not a sloppy pick, a questionable pick in that, you know, maybe to err on the side of caution, but it wasn't a horrendously thrown ball. The guy made an incredible play and catch on it. So I don't expect a reversion by May to making bad throws or bad decisions. So I don't think they would have to be uncharacteristically, the Patriots, inefficient for the Jets to get more than 13 points. Really, I just don't see that happening.
Tom Curran, NBC Sports Boston, here on WEEI Afternoons on a Patriots game day. Tom, we have talked on this show a little bit at various times about Drake May and weather or the wet ball and his accuracy, his hand size, various things like that. Sunday we saw early on in the rain. I don't know if they're directly connected, but early on in the rain he was a little inaccurate. Tonight it looks like it's going to be mid-30s, maybe a little bit of a breeze down there at Gillette. Are you sort of following how Drake May, the young quarterback throwing the football in the weather of the Northeast, goes in the coming weeks and months?
I'm not keyed in on it. I don't have, like, when I'm taking my notes, I'm not going to have a separate category for weather balls. I think if I see a bad throw, I'll say that might have been caused by weather. But I just don't think it's going to be a trend. He comes out juiced up at the beginning of games. It could be that. It could have been the weather last week. He throws with such velocity that I don't think the wind is going to really alter the way his ball flies, the way it might, say, for instance, Mac Jones. But he does have smaller hands. They're on the small side. So it's certainly something that you're going to watch.
I'm just curious, you know, if you've had a chance, you know, you and Phil have been talking about, you know, how teams attack Drake May. You know, I thought the Bucs kind of had a little wrinkle. They dropped eight guys into the zone. We used to play Peyton Manning, we'd only rush three guys, which at the time, I don't remember teams ever doing that. It just seemed to really befuddle him. He didn't have anywhere to go with the football. And all you're playing zones so you can see where he's trying to go. I mean, I think maybe that might be an effective way to stop Drake May, but no team has really found a consistent way to stop him. But Tampa Bay kind of did more eight-man drops last week. Do you see that as something that teams will maybe key in on and continue to do to kind of disrupt them a little bit?
Yeah, especially with the Patriots running game being a little bit strapped right now in terms of depth and a every down kind of bell cow back who can make them pay if they're not, if they're playing back. So the other antidote for that too, Teddy, would be stay unpredictable, make yardage on first down.
Yeah.
Do you do that by throwing more on first and 10 than you generally have? I mean, we do see games in which they will bang their head against the wall and get into second eight or third and seven, and then they throw and they rely on May. But the thing about him is, and the thing about their offense right now is, Josh McDaniels is so attuned to the things that he's doing, and I think at this juncture in Josh's career as a coach, there's nothing that he's not going to figure out. Okay, they're doing this. You know what? I've seen this a million times. Let's just go ahead and do this, Drake, and then they're screwed. So the marriage between an incredibly talented physically and seemingly mentally quarterback and an offensive coordinator who is still very much at the top of his game, eventually I think that they figure things out. So they will drop eight, I'm sure, Teddy, just based on the success that Tampa had last week. But what would the antidote to that be? Underneath?
Yep.
Or are they taking away the underneath, or is it tight ends? It does hurt Austin Hooper not being out there this week. That to me is significant because I think he's been underrated and had an impact. And he's one of the tight ends for folks who might not remember Austin Hooper. We don't get enough chance to talk about him. One of my favorites. One of my favorites.
So, Tom, tonight, the guy who signed a one-day contract yesterday, I think the contract is now expired as he's retired a Patriot. He's going to be he's not going to get that one play everyone was hoping for tonight. He gets to be keeper of the light. He'll have a little halftime ceremony, et cetera. Just wanted to get your feeling on Gronk coming back with that little one-day contract and how you feel about the idea of, like, a Gronk statue or any sort of further celebration of the big guy.
Maybe a nice banner inside the stadium with the silhouette of him spiking would be sufficient. I don't think, as he said yesterday, and I agree with him, one statue is plenty. If you want to do a Bill statue, if he can find his way back up here and shelve some of the pettiness and just say, okay, I'll come back for a statue, I think that would be appropriate. But I think a Gronk banner with the silhouette of a spike would be tremendous. It's good to see him come back because, and I asked him a little bit about it yesterday, just the rancor throughout his career. Remember when he got injured and he was releasing statements? He went through one of the most interesting arcs with Bill Belichick and the organization that any player did, from being traded, half traded to the Detroit Lions and threatening to quit if he got traded. So the Patriots kept him around, which was to their benefit, to him unretiring, and being on the verge of blowing up the Patriots salary cap. So they had to trade him to Tampa Bay, which was an unbelievably savvy move on his part to extract himself from New England. So it was a very interesting run for him and his family in the way he morphed. He got here and would do anything that the team wanted him to. And then there came a time at which he felt that he was getting injured, hung out to dry a little bit, not by the team necessarily, but his body was just demolished, whether it be knees or arms or thighs. He was getting demolished. And there was a point at which I don't think he loved football very much for a short period. He liked the games, but everything else around it, I think, really was difficult for him to enjoy, which we did see in press conferences after he retired. So really fascinating arc, but it's good to see how happy he is to be back here. And everything should be water under the bridge at some point, right? Mm-hmm, I mean, look, Ted's a perfect example of it.
Yep.
A perfect example of it.
Yep, I agree.
Tom, with Brian Daboll getting fired in New York with the Giants, a couple names that I didn't think were necessarily going to be rekindled, certainly not this swiftly, as head coaching candidates in the NFL have been bandied about. I believe I saw a segment on your own network about it. Bill Belichick, as of yesterday, was like the second best odds to become the next Giants coach, and Josh McDaniels being thrown around for that job. Do you think there's any reality or veracity to either of those guys potentially being the next head coach in New York?
I mean, it's up to the Giants. And if you're the Giants and you want Jackson Dart to be your quarterback for the long term and you want to rectify your program, which has been just not great, I don't think that a 74-year-old, which is what Bill will be next April, is probably the best guy to put the paddles to your chest and reinvigorate you. I just don't. As for Josh, if I were a Giants fan and I've just gone through Joe Judge and Brian Daboll and I saw Josh McDaniels coming, regardless of the incredible job that he has done with Drake May and quarterbacks throughout his career, I would have some trepidation that this would be a guy on his third time around and having already seen the movie. I wonder if Josh would be interested, if the Giants were interested in him at this point. Or does he say, you know what, I'm enjoying this. This is good. I'm getting paid well. I like where I live. I like the organization. I like the arc of things. I'll stick with where I am for now. I don't know if he ever wants to go back and be a head coach. But I don't think he's in a position to be asked necessarily either. So kind of have held off on that question mostly.
All right, Tom, last one for us. I'm just curious. It's just your thoughts, way too early kind of prediction on where these Patriots are going to be in the playoffs. But who you think maybe would be right now is their biggest competition? You know, do you think it's the Bills, the Colts, the Chiefs, the Chargers, the Broncos, just the AFC teams? Who do you think is the a real legit team in the AFC to be, up there with the Patriots at the end there?
It's really interesting because the whole conference is inverted. The three teams with the best records, Colts, Patriots, and Broncos, all at 8-2. I would look at the Ravens, Chiefs, and Bills as being greater threats, though the Chiefs aren't even in the playoffs at this point, nor are the Ravens, and the Bills are scuffling. But we have all seen too many teams in every professional sport who have the experience of being postseason teams be able to summon and draw on that experience later on. So I would think that the Bills will be a threat. The Ravens certainly are. I can see the confidence just oozing off of them right now. Mm-hmm. I would consider them bigger threats than the Broncos, who I was really just saying, well, watch out for the Broncos, until I got an eye full of Bo Nix last week. I said, my God.
Don't have to worry about him. He was bad.
I really think it'll come. Their greatest threat comes from those three teams. But if they can secure the number one seed, Teddy, all they have to do is win one home playoff game, yep, and they're in the AFC Championship game at Gillette, which is wild to even consider.
All right, Tom, enjoy the game tonight, and we will catch up with you again next week.
Thanks, Tom.
Thank you, Tom.
Do you want to score?
Sure. Yes, if you got one, I'll take one.
Yes.
Let's go 19-3 Patriots.
I like that.
Is that 2 weeks in a row you've picked 19 as one of the digits?
No, 19.
Oh, yeah, I did. I had 19-17 last week.
Yeah, you like the 19s. Okay. 19's
an unusual score.
Good point by you.
A little bit of a weird score, but I'll take it.
I tied Nebraska 19-19 my freshman year.
All
it's
right.
A weird score.
Okay.
I never
all
beat
all right,
it.
Tom.
19.
We'll see you, Tom.
See you, bud. See you, guys.
See ya.
It's Tom Curran, NBC Sports Boston, predicting a Patriots 19-3 victory. Up next here on WEEI, we're going to react to a couple things that Tom said, and I want to get Ted Johnson's. It doesn't fit, I don't think, in the buildup, but Ted Johnson's thoughts on the Nor'easter jerseys, where they maybe rank. This is a Nor'easter night at Gillette in Foxborough. Patriots-Jets, we're talking about it next here on WEEI.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Mint is still $15 a month for premium wireless. And if you haven't made the switch yet, here are 15 reasons why you should. One, it's $15 a month. Two, seriously, it's $15 a month. Three, no big contracts. Four, I use it. Five, my mom uses it. Are you playing me off? That's what's happening, right? Okay, give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 for 3 month plan. $15 per month equivalent required. New customer offer first 3 months only. Then full price plan options available. Taxes and fees extra. See mintmobile.com.
That's Tommy Curran with us here on WEEI Afternoons. You missed it? You want to listen to the whole interview? Or you could movie poster it. I did like, they're just not a good team. I liked that little one little line you pull out of there.
I'm not sure they'd disagree with you.
Well, it's hard for them when they traded away maybe their two best players.
And what happened? They've won two games in a row after that.
I'm flummoxed by that. Like, I just don't even know how it's so weird. It's sort of counterintuitive.
It is weird. And I heard you say earlier that, the quarterbacks had, what, four games where he threw for under 54 yards?
In 2025.
That's insane.
It's not Otto Graham in 1952 or whatever doing this. The ball is designed to throw through the air. You're supposed to throw for, like, 250 yards every game, and they're doing, like, 50-yard games.
But, I think Tom is right in saying that they are definitely handling it. But you don't hear the word trap out of the players or Mike's. They're humble. They give their flowers to the opponent. And they're keeping their heads down, and they're not looking beyond this game, which is exactly what you need to do. You don't want to acknowledge that it's a trap game. If you're the Patriots, let us do that. But inside, they're behaving as if it's a potential trap game. So they're going to be ready to go.
Yep,
they're going to be ready.
Now
to
this
go.
Is a much better team, obviously, gentlemen, than the one I'm about to reference. But the 3 years ago, there was a Monday Night Football game where obviously Mac Jones starts, doesn't do well. They chant for Zappy. Pat's good up on a big lead. And then, oddly enough, Justin Fields leads a less than stellar Chicago Bears team to a stunning win in Gillette Stadium. There's really no correlation between the two. I just wanted to ask if there's any chance something awful like that could happen.
And no, I don't believe so. Because that team was a mess, or starting to become a mess. I believe that was the game where Mac Jones' family left because they were being heckled so much by Zappy chants and fans.
Oh,
and
boy.
That you had a backup quarterback who was the star.
What the hell was Bill thinking in that game? I mean,
why did he start Mac on his bum wheel? Giardi tweet was like,
do you remember the storyline going into that game? The storyline going into that game was that, or that you heard kind of come out maybe after the game started, was that, oh no, they told Mac that he wasn't going to play the whole game, that he was going to be pulled.
Right.
Which is insanity to me. I've never heard of a team telling a quarterback in a regular season game, a preseason game, you're only going to play, but in a regular season game, hey, Mac, you're only going to play a certain amount of plays. Like a quarterback.
Like, that's the most important part there. If he's a receiver, a rotating running back, whatever. But quarterback.
You just want to that is the book on how to mess up a kid's head right there.
Oh, it worked.
Nice job.
It worked. It went down the road that you might have thought it would have gone down after that with Mac Jones and Bailey Zappe and everything that went on. Ted, so the Nor'easter jerseys will be unveiled tonight. Did you check your package, your mailbox?
Still no nothing. No jerseys. Maybe they sent it to Brian Hoyer's house
They knew your buddies and he'll deliver it to you.
I'm sure Brian will get it to me.
Or maybe it's at NBC waiting for you. Maybe they sent it to NBC Sports Boston.
I'm sure it's there.
Yeah, Andy. So they want you to wear it on the show.
Yeah.
So then, that would make a lot of sense.
That would be cool. So I'm sure it's there. I'll get it later when I go to work. Yeah.
But do you like them?
I like them.
Where do they fit in modern uniform?
I didn't like them when I first saw them, and I just was like, but man, they're starting to wear on me. I kind of like them. I kind of like it. It's kind of a cool look. I'm into the uniforms. I love the white helmets. I think that's cool.
Yeah.
You know, and then I was looking at some of the history of the uniforms for the Pats. You know, I didn't realize this, but the old owner, James Orthwine, in 1993, basically said to his marketing team, you know, we want to change the uniforms. And I guess you tell NFL Properties you want to change yep. the uniform, and then NFL Properties comes up with the ideas, presents it back to the team, and then the team chooses which one they like.
Yep.
It's not the team that proposes to the NFL. Right. It's the other way around.
And we end up with Flying Elvis.
So I love the Flying Elvis. That's my favorite. The big Flying Elvises on the shoulder pads. I had those big shoulder pads. So those are my favorite. I'll be honest, not the biggest fan of the new blue hue, as they call it.
The darker blues.
Yeah. I love those throwbacks. Those are my favorite. And then the Flying Elvis. And then I'd say these right here.
These Nor'easters, these rivalry Nor'easters.
Yeah, yeah. Those are my favorite.
Also, though, we have to see how the game plays out, because I think sometimes people relate a game to a jersey. And if the alternate, if you lose to the Jets and somehow the Jets beat you like 35-3 and Drake May plays like crap, these suddenly don't seem as cool.
I was going to say, Andy, do you think the Buffalo Bills want to wear their rivalry jerseys anytime soon after they lost to the Pats on Sunday Night Football?
No, definitely. No, you're attached to that. So, better win.
Let's hope they take care of business against that football team that is the Jets. They're not a good football team, Tom Curran said, and I kind of agree with him. Up next, though, Ted Johnson will do his best to build us up for this Patriots and Jets game. Tell us what's going to go right, wrong for the Patriots, the Jets, all the little details. Up next with Ted Johnson here on WEEI Afternoons.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You think you understand how this business works, but you don't.
Landman, TV's biggest phenomenon, returns to Paramount Plus. From Taylor Sheridan, co-creator of Yellowstone, starring Billy Bob Thornton.
You have to know the rules of the game and bend them. And you really have to know them to break them.
Demi Moore.
I want success. Get it for me.
Andy Garcia, Ali Larter, and Sam Elliott.
You don't even know the game you're playing, do you?
Landman, new season, streaming November 16th, only on Paramount Plus.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes. Subject to driver availability. More terms apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.